Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The AFAPA and other pro-family organizations have been fighting the formation of Gay Straight Alliance, or GSAs, in schools for years. We were always told they were simply there to give LGBT students a place to be themselves without condemnation. But we always saw that as a foot in the door for the entire LGBTQ agenda. Teachers providing quote-unquote safe spaces for those students, allowing them to be further indoctrinated into believing the lie that they were born homosexual, and now the further destructive lie that they were born in the wrong body. We saw GSAs bring in the Day of Silence, National Coming Out Day, activism to quote-unquote convince the school board to change policies, and then it went down into the middle schools with Mix It Up Day. But who is funding this effort? My guest today is Laurie Higgins. She's the cultural affairs writer for Illinois Family Institute. Thanks, Laurie, for being with us.
Thanks, Diane, for having me.
Didn't they change your title? Weren't you the cultural analyst? That word I can't say. Weren't you previously the cultural?
Well, my title is my title technically is cultural issues writer.
Now
we're trying to simplify it and make it really clear what I do,
and much easier to pronounce than analyst. I can't say the word before. Anyway, so I'm very glad that you are now the cultural affairs writer. So, how detrimental have GSAs been to public schools? As we look over, the push has been going on, like I said in the intro, for decades. How detrimental have those GSAs been to public schools? And unfortunately, they're also in some private schools.
Yeah, they've been very destructive to the school environment. And they do much more than parents realize. I think a lot of parents think it's a club that meets after school. It's just a small handful of kids, and they're choosing to go there. Therefore, they have little impact on the school environment. But they don't realize these clubs do a lot more, as you mentioned in the intro. They sponsor a lot of these. I mean, if people went to GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and see all the different events and days that celebrate leftist views of homosexuality and now cross-sex identification, I think they would be surprised. You know, we've had Ally Week, Day of Silence, Transgender Day of Remembrance. Now we have June, which is Pride Month. Mm-hmm. Some schools still are in effect there. The GSAs are present in the school. They have fundraisers, so they can set up, for example, tables in the lunchroom where they distribute materials to promote their or fundraise, sell cupcakes and things to fund their activities. And they have some outside speakers come in. In some schools, members of the GSA will go into, for example, like homerooms, or at the school I used to work at, we had freshman advisories, and they would talk to students about their club. And really, I mean, the GSA clubs, actually, they are committed to promoting leftist views of, as I said before, homoeroticism, mm-hmm. I prefer over homosexuality, and cross-sex identification. And they'll specifically, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, say their work includes ending homophobia and transphobia. Interestingly, those terms are thrown around a lot in government schools, and mm-hmm. no one ever defines them, because what they really mean is, by homophobia, is conservative beliefs about the nature and morality of homoerotic acts and cross-sex identification. But they don't want to say that, because right. that would get them into a lot of trouble. So instead, they just hurl it out there. And other people, what they mean by it is, your conservative beliefs are equivalent to an irrational fear or mm-hmm, hatred
exactly.
of those who identify, which is a huge problem, to say our government is funding mm-hmm. a particular arguable definition of transphobia and homophobia. Yeah. They are arguing that definition.
Exactly. Yeah, just using the guess it'd be a suffix, the suffix phobia. Like you said, that refers to fear. You are afraid. A person's afraid of homosexuals or those who identify as transgender.
Right. More than phobia is also irrational fear or hatred.
Mm.
So those two ideas are conflated in those terms, which, of course, anyone who is a theologically orthodox, small o, Christian, mm-hmm. conservative Christian, neither hates nor
Correct.
Fears those who identify as trans or identify as gay or lesbian.
Right.
We don't, but they will say your moral propositions, your moral beliefs about homosexuality, about cross-sex identification are equivalent to, are the same as, identical to hatred and fear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, one thing that people should have started doing 20 years ago is force arms of the government to define the terms. Because if they were forced to come out publicly and say what they mean by homophobia, oh, that's the belief that homoerotic acts are immoral. That is homophobia. They would get into a lot more trouble. It would be a lot more difficult for them because then they have to come out and say, they're really saying, well, Orthodox Jews, theologically Orthodox Christians, Muslims, they're all homophobic and transphobic.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we all know that they believe that.
Right.
But they would have to say that in, for example, a public school setting
mm-hmm.
would be problematic for teachers. Instead, they can just throw it out there and encourage kids. And now what's happening is throwing that around for decades actually now is making the kids, you know, because it's very cool to be gay, lesbian, or trans right now.
Especially all trans, making it, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. it is making it very easy for them. In fact, they feel justified in hating theologically orthodox people of faith.
Wow.
The leftist kids mm-hmm. feel like it's kind of a cause or a good justified mission to hate theologically orthodox people of faith.
Mm, wow. Haven't some of those clubs changed their names from Gay Straight Alliance to Gender Sexuality Alliances?
Yeah, they have different, and some schools have, well, particular names, you know, they'll have, you know, mm-hmm. different acronyms that, you know, they're not even called GSAs, they'll be called Spectrum or,
right,
you know,
okay.
something, you know, they make up their own name, but they're all the same.
It's the same thing. So parents need to, you know, not just be on the lookout for GSAs or Gay Straight Alliance clubs. They need to look into what those quote-unquote innocent-sounding clubs really do. And hopefully school
right.
districts, I know some school districts have their clubs listed on their website, so parents need to be very careful about what clubs their school is allowing and be aware that if there's a GSA, there's going to be, I mean, they're training up these kids who are members of GSAs to be activists. And you'll see that
right.
with posters on the walls. You'll see that, you know, there was one situation over in Allentown in Lehigh County several years ago where during the week of the Day of Silence, the GSA had, during homeroom, had short videos from YouTube shown each day. And parents didn't know about it. And I know there was you know, parents found out about it and were outraged to know that their kids were exposed to that.
Well, you brought up a really good point, which is the GSAs, the Gay Straight Alliances, these after-school clubs, supposedly student-led,
mm-hmm.
they, for example, one of their main efforts, you know, going back 20 years or longer now, was the Day of Silence, the Day of Silence. And now mm-hmm. it's a whole week long,
exactly.
which ending in the night of noise.
Mm-hmm.
And if parents went to GLSEN, which now is the organization that really has taken over sponsorship of the GSAs, I mean, of the Day of Silence,
right.
they have a whole section on activities for teachers to do in their classroom in order to participate in Day of Silence.
Wow.
And what's interesting is in terms of this government grant that we're going to
mm-hmm.
be talking about,
mm-hmm.
that the CDC offers to schools for annually anywhere from $12,000 to $350,000 to individual schools based on them, two requirements, one of which is to for these schools to have GSAs. What's ironic about that is GSAs for years have been heavily sponsored, especially when schools get criticisms for them, as being student-led. And they're now in middle schools also, not just high schools. These are student-led, supposedly student-led clubs, and yet the federal government is essentially extorting schools to have them. So in order to access between $12,000 and $350,000 annually, schools must have a GSA. Well, how is that student-led when the federal government is coercing you, extorting you to have these clubs?
And aren't all... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, and then they, you know, the other requirement in addition to, the federal government, in order for schools to access this thousands of dollars annually between the years 2018 to 2023, they not only have to have GSAs in their schools, but they also have to have professional development, which, and I have tried in both my articles and in interviews I've done to tell parents, youth have to start paying attention to professional development. Mm-hmm. I know this from working for a decade in a public high school, mm-hmm. that no one pays attention to that. Some people aren't even familiar with the term. Professional development are the teaching learning experiences schools provide to teachers on things like late arrival days or institute days or during the summer where there's summer workshops, the conferences they send teachers to. All these professional development opportunities are for teachers and sometimes staff to attend. And the idea is whatever is presented there, schools want to become part of curricula. They want those ideas and activities and resources to make it into the classroom. So if we're not paying attention, people can file freedom of, they can just call their schools and ask. And if schools are intransigent, then you can file a Freedom of Information Act request. But you can say, I want to know what is taking place in our professional development over whatever time period you want to know, you know, the past year, the past 2 years, the past 5 years. And you want to know any speakers that came in. You want to know the materials that were disseminated at these. You want to know the topics they covered. And you can, as I said, access that through a Freedom of Information Act request, which are very, very easy to file. And find out what is the school teaching the teachers to bring into the classroom. Because remember, parents, those activities, all those resources, you are paying for. You are subsidizing. And often they are, when I left Deerfield High School, which is in an affluent suburb of Deerfield, I mean of Chicago, mm-hmm. on the North Shore of Chicago, a very high performing high school. I was a member of the English department. For the last 3 years that I was there, which was 2005 to 2008, every single professional development was promoting critical race theory.
Really?
Or they would call it...
Way back then?
No. Yes.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was battling this, and I was saying, sometimes the resources would call it teaching for social justice, mm-hmm. but it was critical race theory, the imbalanced view of American mm-hmm. history, this dividing people up into, you know, the society up into who are the oppressors and who are the oppressed, and the oppressors were white homosexual, white heterosexual, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Particularly men. And they were promoting that in every single professional development for every department for the last 3 years.
Wow.
And they would have, you know, one of these scammers, his name, the particular one that we hired was Glenn Singleton. He's been written about in the New York Times, mm-hmm. and probably Wall Street Journal. His organization is in California. And he comes in and says, we had thousands of dollars of grants to help Hispanic kids score better on standardized tests. And we use that money to hire this grifter from the Pacific Education Group to come in and talk to staff and faculty about their whiteness.
Misappropriation of funds?
Absolutely. And the Hispanic families had no idea that there were thousands of dollars to help their kids score better on standardized tests. And we used it to take teachers 7 times out of a calendar year to go over to a posh country club on the North Shore for an entire day so he could talk to us about our whiteness.
Wow.
And did that improve their scores?
No,
not a bit.
Not at all.
We could have hired teachers mm-hmm. to tutor these kids in English, because that's the problem, is mm-hmm. many of them are from immigrant families who don't speak English at home.
Yeah.
And so their skills aren't that high. And it was, to me, this was a grievous injustice.
Mm, absolutely.
But this is what goes on behind the scenes at professional development, and nobody is paying attention to what's going on there. Some of this stuff would stop if parents would just find out and go. I went to a school board meeting and I asked I said, how in theory is this going to help these Hispanic kids score better on ACT mm-hmm. tests by teaching us about our whiteness? How in theory is that going to work? No answer. It didn't matter because all they were trying to do was promote an ideology.
Yeah.
And what I had said to my department was, I said, as an educational institution, shouldn't we be presenting both sides of this debate on how to think about race and racial issues? Why are we not studying criticism of critical race theory? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we bringing some of those resources to study? How do you teach kids to think critically if we aren't even doing that?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you teach them? How do you teach them the debate? You know, that's what they always say: teach the controversy.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you don't present both sides mm-hmm, of this, mm-hmm. and this is exactly this grant, boatloads of money is offered to schools only if they have gay straight alliances mm-hmm. and only if they promote leftist views of sexuality in professional development.
Yeah,
that is extortion and coercion.
It is, absolutely is. And those professional development days in Pennsylvania are called Act 80 days. And they're usually on a Friday. And of course, the kids don't have school. And as you're saying, the teachers are educated on something or other. So,
right.
And I've always wondered what took place in those during those Act 80 days and what the teachers were being exposed to. So we can actually file a FOIA request, either request directly from the school the information, who spoke, the curriculum that or the material that was handed out, and what the topic was. We can either directly request that from the school, or if they don't cooperate, file a
right.
FOIA request. And most school districts have on their website a link to a FOIA request form right there on most school
every
websites.
School has to have that.
Okay.
Every school has a FOIA officer. So
correct.
If parents
okay.
don't know how mm-hmm. to do it, it's really very easy. I just want to say that to parents listening
yeah.
to fill this out. I know people's eyes glaze over when you talk about stuff like this, but
I
would
know.
Recommend.
Yeah.
Right. I would recommend that if people, because you do have to put dates,
mm-hmm,
you know, you
exactly.
want to know,
be
you
specific.
Want a certain kind of information between these time periods. I would go back, for professional development, I would go back farther than just the past year or so. I mean, certainly during the entirety of the pandemic, but if you suspect your school is pretty politicized, mm-hmm. Then you might want to go back further to find out so you can get in sort of an overview of what they're promoting. Listen, if schools are doing a great job and they're not politicizing all this stuff, they should have no problem telling
exactly.
parents. You shouldn't have to file a FOIA. If they're making you file a FOIA, that means they're trying to conceal
exactly.
something
yeah.
controversial.
Yeah, went back to the CDC, our taxpayer dollars grant. You know, where that's what is funding this grant. But I was surprised when back to 2018. So 2018 to 2023 with a 12-month budget period. Now explain that to me. Does that mean each year the
yes.
schools could,
each
okay.
year they can
okay.
each year they could get, so there was, the total was $85 million
mm-hmm.
spent over that 5-year period, 2018 to 2023. With each year, what schools had available to them each year was somewhere between $12,000 to $350,000.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, $12,000, even the lowest at $12,000, that's a lot of money to go to a school. And
oh, yeah.
here's what, oh gosh, this was so enraging to me. The funding opportunity title was that this grant falls under was promoting adolescent health through school-based HIV prevention programs. And the CDC said this. They funded the program, it's called 1807, to improve the health and well-being of our nation's youth by working with education and health agencies and other organizations, listen to this, to reduce HIV, STDs, and unintended teen pregnancy.
In the meantime, they're promoting activities that will increase the HIV and STDs.
Of course, since this has been going on from 2018, they should have been able to determine by 2022 whether, say, in the year 2018 to 2019, the school year, and 2019 to 2020, if they actually reduced the incidence of HIV, mm-hmm. STDs, unintended teen pregnancy, and related risk behaviors.
No, and those stats are usually
right.
always 5 years in the, you know, in the future. In 5 years, they'll determine, though, this idea didn't work. You know, I wonder I wonder if that's
And how does that...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, I was just going to say, how even in theory, it's what I was asking about what went on in our professional development on critical race theory. How in theory does teaching kids that conservative beliefs on homoerotic activities or cross-sex identification, how does that in theory reduce STDs? I don't even understand, you know, I mean, I don't even understand how that, I mean, and how does that, are they, when they want to reduce, you know, related risk behaviors among middle school kids and their, and teen health, you know, promoting mm-hmm. adolescent health, you want to do that by promoting the transcultic beliefs yeah. that are stopping puberty, that are giving kids risky, dangerous, untested cross-sex hormones and mutilating teen bodies? How does that help adolescent health? And are they teaching kids about all that? When they're promoting cross-sex identification, are they teaching them the truth about what Lupron does, which is the drug
puberty,
that they use
mm-hmm,
to stop puberty?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Do they tell them how that affects bone growth? Do they tell them about the kids who are now experiencing excruciating pain sometimes in their jaws because they've been on Lupron, sometimes for other things because Lupron is used for precocious puberty.
Mm-hmm.
So are they telling them about that?
No,
are they telling them about detransitioners? If they're really concerned about adolescent health, are they talking about the teen girls now who are coming forward and saying they feel grievously harmed and betrayed mm-hmm. by the medical and mental health communities? Because they had double mastectomies at 13, 14, 15. Now they're in their early 20s. Some of them want to marry and have mm-hmm. babies and they mm-hmm. can never breastfeed. Some of them are infertile.
Yeah.
Do they tell kids about this?
No, because all they're doing is pushing an agenda. They do not
right.
care how many kids are harmed.
Right.
And it's encouraging that more and more folks are detransitioning who have, you know, they're detransitioning. Yes, that's good. And they get getting out the message, but that does not stop the harm or reverse the harm
right.
that they've gone through, and that, you know, and all kids will not get the message that this is not a good idea, as this is being promoted in schools by the psychiatric so-called therapist and the government. You know, they don't get the message because they're the ones pushing this are not truthful about the harms. They just
right.
want to push an agenda, period.
Right. When I mean, two things. When I started working for IFI, so I started in the fall of 2008, early in 2009, I wrote one of my early, early articles. I was writing about a lesbian who had written an article for the Journal of Gay and Lesbian Studies
mm-hmm.
in which she said, the article was How to Make Preschools Trans-Friendly.
Oh,
her name is Laurel Dykstra. I've updated that article. In it, if people go and read it, so I've summarized what she wrote in the Journal of Gay and Lesbian Studies, and her recommendations, if you read her recommendations about how to make preschools trans-friendly, this was in 2008, everything that you'll see, you'll recognize are now in our public schools.
Wow.
All the tips that she's given on how to make schools trans-friendly, she had advocated, and this was, and by the way, I wrote the article in early 2009. She wrote her article in 2005 on how to make. So this has been, they have been working. 2005. They have been working on getting at the hearts and minds and bodies of our children. And that was when she wrote this article. And she was not the first person to advocate.
You know,
stuff.
And you and I have been in this battle for a couple years. And, and we, you know, the homosexual issue was front and center. The transgender issue was not front and center, still very much under the radar screen. But you're saying in 2005, this person, this lesbian, wrote this article on how to make preschool
trans-friendly. Trans-friendly.
That is
scary. And I have the article. I don't have the title in front of me, but I think her name is Dykstra, Dykstra. She's actually now a pastor and a lesbian. And so that was 17 years ago, she was saying, almost 18, how to make preschools trans-friendly. This is how, and this is what, I mean, you and I, you said a couple of years.
It's
been way more than a couple of years. And that's why you and I feel, and many others of us who are doing this work, frustrated when people thought this emerged just after, you know, Obergefell Supreme Court decision,
mm-hmm.
because you know, the left realized, well, we sort of won that battle.
And now
that the trans thing really picked up, now we'll move on to, and if people don't, we'll give this warning now, and then people can dismiss it like they've dismissed all of our other warnings. We're seeing the movement toward lowering to normalizing
age of consent.
Pedophilia. Yeah, because we have now they've got a new name, minor attracted persons. They'll start to move to lower the age of consent. They're going to start making the argument that they can consent. And of course, and it's also, and then we will eventually have, you know, incest will be normalized because, of course, these things have always been present through history. All forms of sexual deviance have always been present. There's nothing new under the sun.
True. And we're living in a fallen world.
Right. And exactly. And so we will have incest, you know, because, you know, love is love. So that doesn't matter. We're already seeing the push for, you know, legalizing plural unions, which will be coming from the polyamorous community, not from, say, the fundamentalist Mormons. And so we're not done with the, you know, and now we've seen kink has been, you know, colleges and universities have been having these kink weeks for, you know, well over a decade. Yeah. So we're not at the end of the slippery slide down this precept grinding hill that leftists have created. We're not nearly done. No. And if we don't start paying attention to what's going on, you know, I was just talking to, I did an interview yesterday and I was saying, we can't hope to fix the political environment here in this country until we fix schools because they are indoctrinating our kids.
Yeah.
Who then come out and they've been taught to be activists in the service of sexual deviance, and they are now our culture makers. They're moving into, you know, writing and into the medical field. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to say. I've written two articles on this, and I wish they had gotten more traction, but because the left has said for years, well, the American Academy of Pediatrics affirms the pro-trans protocols, all the things we've talked about, you know, with hormonal use. Well, When they first started saying that in earnest a few years ago, I looked into it and discovered how their public policy statements are created. The American Academy of Pediatrics, and same with the AMA, they appoint a committee, and they pick the people who will serve on the committee. So on this trans committee, they picked all leftists. In fact, one of them is Dr. Robert Garofalo, a homosexual HIV-positive doctor at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, which is, you know, one of the premier children's hospitals in the world. It used to be called Children's Memorial. And they have one of the first adolescent gender clinics in the country. And he was at the head of that. He was one of the persons on the committee. Others who are either homosexual or had homosexual adult children. And so this committee of, I don't know, anywhere between 15, 20 members, they create the policy. And then it has to be okayed by another kind of advisory board of leftists. So that's another like 15 or so. And then that's it. They vote on it. That group. So
that's
it's
policy.
Somewhere,
that's the policy.
It's like 55 members of the American Academy of Pediatrics. They were appointed, handpicked. They created the policy and they voted on it. And then it goes out to the world. They don't send it to the 67,000 members of the American Academy of Pediatrics. They don't vote on it. They don't ask for a minority report. Nothing. Often, pediatricians or doctors, if we're talking about the AMA, don't even learn about the policy until it's already gone out in a press release to the public.
And a patient may bring it up or something.
And they have no idea. Yeah. Well, then the press picks it up usually, and then they promote it. And then all the leftists say, oh, look what the American Academy of Pediatrics says. And so it's like a, you know, this self-affirming ideology. So parents are not to be deceived into believing when a school board member tells you, oh, well, the American Academy of Pediatrics, they can say to them, do you know how many members of the American Academy of Pediatrics has affirmed this? We don't even know how many believe. They would have to take an anonymous poll because you risk professional and social repercussions if you come out against it. But we have no idea what the American Academy, all the pediatricians in the American Academy of Pediatrics thinks about stopping puberty and then giving them cross-sex hormones for the rest of their lives or amputating healthy breasts. We have no idea. So there's so much wrong with what's going on and so much dishonesty.
And the left has been so good about infiltrating these organizations, the APA, American Psychological Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, blah, blah, blah. And like you just explained, how they come out with these policies that just a small handful of selected individuals,
activists,
are setting policy where the majority of the members of those organizations have no say in it whatsoever. So now we have the federal government, the CDC, using our taxpayer dollars, $85 million between 2018 and 2023, and that amount annually, to force schools, if you want this grant money, you have to form a Gay Straight Alliance Club, and you have to educate your teachers on how
indoctrinate and propagandize.
Exactly. So now we're up against the federal government. We're up against all these leftist organizations. The leftists have taken over. We're up against the CDC. We're up against the Biden administration, because I'm wondering if any money given to the CDC in the end of the year, actually the fiscal year for the U.S. ended September 30th, but if any of this funding that the Congress is looking at to continue the government operating, whether there's any money earmarked in those funding bills to the CDC that would allow the CDC to continue this grant program after 2023, which is just...
Well, yeah, that's a really interesting question. And bringing up, you know, funding issues, people, I started doing it for a while just on my personal Facebook page, but going over and all these goofy studies that get money from the NIH, for example, that are studying, I mean, completely unacademic things pertaining to homosexuality and, you know, trans cultic beliefs. We're funding so much under that parents have no idea about. Not just parents, the public at large has no idea about. You have to look at, you go find these goofy studies, and then you look, because they have to put what they're, how they're funded. They have to have this, you know, at the end of the article, say, exactly. And we are funding a lot more than the CDC grant here that we're talking about
it's,
today.
It's scary how they're wasting our taxpayer dollars when they could definitely be used on, like, finishing a wall on the southern border, things like that.
A wall, and then maybe not tax us so highly in general. Is this the founding fathers' idea of how American government, what it would be involved in, how we would have their hands in our pockets, and then dispensing it to all these, efforts that are actually undermining the country?
Yes, they had no idea. The government would become so overbearing, would become so strong.
Right.
They had no idea, and they took steps to try to rein that in, but they had no inkling that this would happen. So how can folks contact you?
Oh, it was illinoisfamily.org. Okay. That's our organization.
And your articles are up there.
Yep, they're up there. I mean, you can search either by my name, but you can search by topic also. And we have a lot of information on if parents care about what's going on in schools, if they care about the normalization of homosexuality and cross-sex identification. We have a lot of information available.
Great. Yeah, and it's illinoisfamily.org.
Yeah.
So thanks, Lori, for being with us, and I really appreciate your expertise in this, and I really appreciate it. And I mean, it's eye-opening that we found out about, you know, this $85 million grant, CDC, taxpayer-funded grant, that's actually forcing schools to start GSAs.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for all the work that you do in the cause of children and education and the culture.
Well, Pennsylvania is a crazy state, but I'll tell you what, Illinois is crazier than Pennsylvania. So,
can I tell you one last thing? I haven't had a chance to write about it pertaining to schools.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, California just passed that law about, you know, if children whose parent or parents don't want them to have, you know, cross-sex hormones or whatever, if they can make their way to California, the state will, you know, sort of kidnap them from their parents.
Uh-huh.
We just had a homosexual lawmaker in Illinois propose that same law.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Illinois is the worst.
Well,
because, you know, the Pritzker family are huge funders of this. You know, J.B. Pritzker's first cousin is a man who identifies as a woman.
Right.
Jennifer, he goes by. But they're funding, you know, this all over the country and in Canada.
In Canada, too. Oh, my goodness. And didn't Pritzker just get reelected as governor? Or is he?
Yep.
He did. Okay, wow.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's fleeing Illinois. It's one of the top states for people fleeing.
Mm-hmm.
And Pritzker gets reelected. I don't understand why Illinoisans, well, it's mainly Chicagoans,
right?
Why they work against their own interests.
Yeah, that's less like here in PA. We have to work against stuff. The rest of the state is working against Philadelphia and other parts of the eastern, southeastern area, and Allegheny County, which is where Pittsburgh is. We have to overcome those liberal votes there. So anyway, you guys stay warm this winter.
Yeah, and have a nice Christmas.
Yep, you too. Okay, take care, Lori.
Okay, bye, okay, Diane.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.